Hi, it's Mark Bittman, and welcome to Food. As always, you can email us at food@markbittman.com. We love to hear from you. Please also subscribe to this podcast and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. And check out and subscribe to the Bittman Project, our 3 or 4 times a week newsletter and fabulous new website. This week, you can read about Kate's obsession with roast garlic as a condiment and 20 ways to use it as such, including spreading it on pizza dough before you add any other toppings. And Adam Reed, my old colleague Adam Reed, writes about the solution to his sweet tooth in the form of fruit truffles. Yes, you heard that right. Check out also our new website, its wonderful recipe archive, and its many splendid articles. We'll see you there. Back in a minute.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't yet know who Leilani Lewis is, get ready for us to wax poetic about her a lot moving forward. Lewis is a talented chef, food stylist, and culinary activist, and her first book, The Wonderful, Beautiful, Intriguing, Fascinating, Code Noir, is just out now. The book follows in the footsteps of Leilani's popular dinner series. Both are named after a set of French regulations put forth by Louis XIV in 1685 that was in effect for more than 150 years, and which outlined how enslaved people in French colonies could and should be treated with regards to just about everything you can possibly imagine. Why would she name her book after that? You'll find out, and you'll also hear about a picturesque childhood with an Irish mom and a Grenadian dad, and all of the culinary delights that brought, and the inspiration that it still brings her today in just about everything she does, and much, much more. This is a full-bodied, wonderful, intriguing conversation, and Kate and I left it feeling like we'd made a new friend. Those are the best conversations. Just one more thing before we get started. If you like this episode, I'd love it if you check out my interview with Michelle Norris from January 17th. We talked a lot about food bringing people together, and food and love in both that episode and in today's. And I think if you listen to both episodes together, you might end up feeling pretty good. You can find a link to that episode on our website.
We love your book, Code Noir. And you obviously had a diverse, rich childhood and adolescence, coming of age, both in terms of love and in terms of food. You're quite candid about all of it. Can you tell us a little about, let's focus on your culinary upbringing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my culinary upbringing was pretty diverse. I was very fortunate to have, well, I guess in some ways, born in London, which is just a hugely diverse city as is, but specifically South London, which has a huge diaspora of Caribbean and African people, along with lots of different other communities. So I grew up eating loads of different Caribbean foods, but my parents also had like a very multicultural array of friends. So, you know, whether it be my Mauritian godmother or Pakistani friends, and all of those people kind of ended up bringing all of these foods to our house. And, you know, and it was always just such a feast, you know, at my house. And food was always the kind of convenial thing that brought us together. And I think that happened in a lot of, for want of finding a better word, diasporic or ethnic people. Like, food is always a thing that centers them, you know? And so I had a really multicultural upbringing, not just because of the fact that my dad was from Grenada and my mum was Irish. And so I grew up also eating the Irish stews with the suet dumplings, or the meat and potatoes and boiled cabbage, which I loved equally as much as I loved the kind of tropical chicken curries and rotis. So it was all so diverse, but also so delicious and heartwarming. Every food that I tasted whilst being brought up, you know, it was all cooked with so much love. So it just filled you with warmth.
Did anything feel exotic, or did it all just sort of feel normal? Did you think, I mean, was there a point at which you thought, oh my God, I live in this crazy house where we're eating roti one night and boiled beef and cabbage the next night? Or it just seemed like that's what people do?
I think so. I think when you're a child and you don't know any different, that's the normal. It is just the norm. So I don't think anything seemed to be particularly exotic to me. There are foods that I wasn't accepting of. Like, I think growing up, I was actually quite a fussy child. I wouldn't eat anything other than chicken. And by chicken, I would mix up beef and chicken. And my mom would just say, yeah, 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 it's chicken. So eat that too. I was quite fussy. But as I got older, you then start to appreciate those foods. So for example, having moved to Holland and them eating raw herring with raw onions on top and just slurping it down in a whole bite in their mouths is so normal and accepting for them. And that, for me, just feels a bit...
I
question it. Yeah.
I can't remember when I started to eat. We had a lot of smoked fish growing up because my grandparents were Jewish and that was just what we ate, appetizing. And I can't remember when I started liking it, but I feel like I liked it pretty young. Which is crazy because mine would never. But.
Yeah, you did.
So let's talk about your gorgeous book, Code Noir, is named after a set of French regulations put forth by Louis XIV in 1685. And these regulations were in effect for more than 150 years. They outlined how enslaved people in French colonies should be treated with regards to everything from the ownership of children to how illness was handled to when and how masters could free their slaves to the amount slaves were fed. What prompted you to name your book after this decree?
Yeah, known as the most monstrous legal document of all time, for sure. It's a very powerful decree that carries a lot of kind of dehumanizing weight to it. And of course, like, why would you want to name a book after something so horrific? There's this African proverb that it resonates with me so much. And it is... until the lions have their own historians, the hunt will always be glorified by the hunter. And so every single time I say that, it just strikes me right in the middle of my heart, because it's like, yeah, the people who have the power are the people who have power over the narrative. And the narrative of Code Noir is obviously that of dehumanizing enslaved Africans. But what if you kind of reversed that and you claimed that narrative back and said, okay, yes, we can't smooth over the fact that this happened, but at the same time, look at the beauty and the diverse cuisine and the brilliance that these people have managed to create, even despite of the adversity, despite of the cruel treatment. And that's why I think I've named it Code Noir. Not I think, I know that's why I've named it Code Noir, because I wanted to kind of flip the script and flip that narrative and give power back to those people's narratives, to my heritage, and to say, you know, look at the beauty that has come out of that adversity. So that's why I've named it Code Noir.
You mentioned dehumanization, and I think there's a way in which we think of enslaved people as being somehow other, you know, with unimaginable lives, even sometimes dehumanized lives. And of course, part of that's true, but another truth is that, of course, they developed and maintained cultures, including cultures around food. And, you know, despite horrific circumstances and extremely limited resources and time and freedom, enslaved people developed their own dishes, and these are dishes that became fixtures in the Caribbean and the Americas, around the world. Can you talk about some of these, especially the ones that you find most inspiring?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, they have become absolute fixtures within different countries and have been held up as national dishes. And I think that just speaks to, you know, the power and the resourcefulness of some of the enslaved Africans' way of creating and adapting these different ingredients, you know, whilst bringing some of their own ingredients from their continent, from the African continent, and then bringing it into this new country, how they were able to adapt those ingredients using new ingredients that they'd never even come across before and creating these incredible dishes. And some such examples are, for example, the national dish of Jamaica is known as ackee and saltfish, and it's dish of salted cod, or bacalao as many people know it to be called, bell peppers, scotch bonnets, and ackee, which is a West African fruit. And there are many stories of how, you know, how did ackee even get to the Caribbean, and there's stories of the fact that in the interior of in the continent of Africa, in different countries, they knew that there were some tribal wars which were basically being armed by Europeans and actually ignited by Europeans, and people were being pushed towards the coastlines of Africa. And so women started to, with their feeling of insecurity, started to put seeds into their hair and actually embed it into their cane rows. And so this is how some of the foods that are from Africa were actually transported to the Caribbean. So that for me is like this beautiful story of oppression and liberation, that they were able to use these ingredients, which were for just a survival, and then kind of create something which has become like an emblematic dish of pride for that country. I feel like in some of these cultures, blackness is being erased, and it's being just as colonialism did so many thousands of years, hundreds of years ago, and it's happening again. And I feel like within food, you see the lineage and the heritage being preserved, you know, that pride, that sense of pride that enslaved Africans, no matter how torturous or difficult the conditions with which they were living in, still managed to create these dishes which have become emblematic to those countries.
Female genius.
Female and male, because it was my dad who taught my mum how to cook, and she didn't have an absolute clue how to cook anything.
So the book was born from your dinner series,
also called Code Noir, which after reading about it sounds sort of like a culinary history. I mean, the way it plays out is so beautiful. And of course, it's in line with your TEDx talk about how to use food as a tool to reconcile history. Can you tell us a little bit about the dinners? They sound incredible.
Yeah, the Code Noir dinners were, I'm not a person to usually brag, but they were exceptional. And they weren't exceptional necessarily because of me. It was because of all of the different involvement of the different artists and bringing this narrative alive. I never could have imagined such a thing to have happened just from my mind, but also this collaborative effort from everybody else. So the dinners were basically the basic premise was that I wanted to host a dinner that was a kind of immersive experience exploring the culinary history of the Caribbean. And so I wanted to basically look at the four different epochs that were quite significant to the change of culture, culinary history, agriculture, to the ingredients that had all kind of changed modern Caribbean into this kind of melting pot. So looking at indigenous food culture, then European, then African, and then later Chinese and Indian indentured workers. And so with the dinner, we took the participants or customers on that journey, looking at the different starches that each of those cultures brought in. So myself and another chef, we figured out ways in which we could interpret those dishes in new or kind of traditional ways. And so the customer would go on this journey within these four different, tasting these four different starches from these different influences, and then also having like artist performances. So for example, with the indigenous course, we looked at cassava, which known as the staff of life. And we had a spoken word artist talking about that. And then we also had another artist who was actually making a cassava bread on an open fire on a wooden boat. Health and safety doesn't really exist here in the Netherlands. On the sixth night of the dinner, the boat did catch on fire. True stories.
How'd that work out?
just a minor fire, which quickly got put out. Then the second course, the audience was taken into a darkened barn, and there was a long table with candelabras and Baroque music, and they were treated to another iteration of like a European course. And then the African, we had a spoken word artist literally on a boat going across the river doing a spoken word piece, kind of dressed in traditional attire with a head wrap. And then people were given a dish, which was, you know, African inspired with African ingredients, and then a sugar cube and a note to put that sugar cube in the drink. And it was all just a way to kind of get people thinking, where does my food actually come from? How is it that I have this ingredient on my plate now, you know? So striking up this conscientiousness, which was in a very kind of like subversive way. And this was at the time when Black Lives Matter was happening. And so it felt very urgent that we were having these conversations. And food felt a very natural way to be able to have these very difficult conversations in a digestible manner. And I think loads of people left feeling super impacted, but not necessarily knowing why. They knew that we were talking about colonialism and food, but I think it just kind of put seeds in their minds that would later on germinate. And so I just think it resonated with a lot of people.
That's such a smart way to engage people, because I do feel like people don't want tons of information thrown at them all the time. But when you engage them in a creative way, it's so productive. You know, I asked a friend of mine when everything happened in 2020, I said, what are some books I can read about racism? And she was like, don't. Just read novels by Black people. And I should say she's Black, obviously. But it was such an interesting take. And so smart, right? Because in a way, you're learning more about people's lives when you're engaging in a creative way, as opposed to like, I mean, I have such a small attention span. Reading a nonfiction book is kind of difficult. I'm better at fiction. And yeah, it was really interesting advice. And I mean, I think that goes for the dinner series too. You're learning in this wonderful, creative way. You're still processing the information, but it's just a different way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it felt urgent to be able to have these conversations. And I just, you know, people have since called me an activist, and I'm like, oh, okay. I reluctantly accept the title. But if by activist it means provoking conversations and allowing people the space to have conversations and to have a difference of opinion and to be able to share that in a safe way, then so be it. Then yeah, okay, I'll happily accept the title that I'm an activist. But I think that you're right. Like we have to kind of pull on people's heartstrings to a point. There's this kind of saying from this activist who basically apparently changed the mind of a Ku Klux Klan leader. And she said, the way to change a person's mind is to change their heart. So if you can really help somebody understand and to really truly empathize with somebody else's plight, then I think that is the way that we can help people understand others outside of themselves, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about changing culture being the most important thing. You know, you get into conversation, it's about how are we going to change policy and how are we going to change regulations and reality and da, da, da. And there are people who just repeatedly say the way to do this is to change culture. That culture has to change first. It's not, I don't know the answer to this. I'm just saying that is one way of looking at things.
Stay tuned for more from Lalani, Kate, and me.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things.
The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code BITMAN. We'd like to talk about the food a little more and just give you space to talk about some of the other dishes you might have created for Code Noir, the book, or the dinners for that matter, that you're particularly proud of. I have to say, I really love the corn ribs thing, and I never thought of that. It's like so smart. And, you know, of course, the sauce is great and it looks like a great dish and all of that, but just that way of cutting up corn is so clever. I wonder if you could just talk about a few of the dishes you're especially happy about.
I mean, it felt like a really monumental task to write 80 recipes. And when I was like forming the book, I was like, okay, how many recipes do I have in my bag, you know? And somehow I'd just done the titles of 80. And then I was like, okay, but now I have to cook them. And not just once, but twice, but three times, maybe even four. So, oh God, what have I done? But there were a few dishes that were, I drew on inspiration from family dishes that I'd learned from my family or being inspired by my family, dishes that were super familiar to me. And it's not necessarily that I had a recipe from them. It was just, I was so familiar with the taste that I could emulate it in something that I made. And then there were dishes that I felt particularly proud of because they were just using the ingredients, but in a different way, in a way that probably other generations like my aunties, older generations wouldn't have thought of or wouldn't have used in that particular way. And so I think that's what kind of differentiates the book from traditional Caribbean cookbook to something that is like evolving the cuisine in a way. And so some dishes are like, you know, in terms of the modern interpretations are like the sweet potato patties with the Callaloo sauce. And that Callaloo sauce is, if you taste it, it's so damn good. Like it's spicy, it's peppery, it's got like kind of a smokiness. It's just really delicious. Then paired with the sweetness, I love that sweet and sour and kind of combination. So that's a really good, I really like that. I really enjoy that. And then going kind of more to the traditional recipes, the escovitch fish is really nice. And I really, and this is kind of my showboat, a recipe is there's Trini doubles. I absolutely love the Trinidadian doubles. They are so delicious. And with all of the condiments, because I'm a condiment queen, if you look in my fridge, it's like two top shelves of just condiments.
And with you there.
Right? And so it's, I love the doubles because of the capability it has to have as many condiments thrown on it as possible. So it has the batters with the chickpea curry in itself is just tasty. But then with the green seasoning, the pickled cucumber, the coconut yogurt, tamarind sauce, the hot pepper sauce. I mean, it's an explosion of flavors in your mouth. So I definitely think you should try that one. And then in terms of canons for the book, I would say the green seasoning is like a canon recipe. Because if you know how to make that, and it can be used as an additive to stews, soups, sauces, everything, or it can be used as a dipping sauce. So if you can make that, then... And you can use it for every single cuisine you could think of. So
describe it.
It's just a hibiscus sauce. It was kind of like a salsa verde. You could kind of describe it as. It's a mixture if I had access to it, would use Chardon Benny, which is like a cilantro, basically. I think you guys can get it. Not cilantro, cilantro. So a bit different.
Yeah, the Puerto Ricans call it culantro.
That
sort
okay.
of sword-like spiky.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
you see that in Southeast Asia too. Yeah.
But then, in absence of that, I would use coriander, oregano, parsley, vinegar, apple cider vinegar, sugar, salt, green pimento chilies. So they have like a more fruity kind of less spiciness to them. But that combination of those herbs, the salt, the sugar, the vinegar, it's just such a flavor bomb. It's got everything to it. Do try it.
Will do. I wanted to talk about Grenada for a second. Your father's from there and you clearly have a deep connection to it. And you've written about the disconnection most of us have from our food system in Europe, in the U.S., at least. You can say that about much of the world. I wonder what things are like in Grenada. I've been there a couple times, but not for a while. And but I've traveled in the island some, and I know that food and foodways are just difficult there. I wonder if Grenada's unusual in any way.
It's not unusual in the sense that, well, it's a tiny island and everything is very expensive. But what I have noticed, I just came back on the 21st of January. I was there for 3 weeks. And, you know, obviously I talk a lot about colonialism in the book and in my work that I do, in my workshops, in my dinners and my pop-ups at my studio. It's all about decolonization because I think that rather than ruminating on the past, we should be looking towards the future and giving value back to the cultures that have been erased or devalued and one of them is Caribbean food. So that's why I'm so passionate about talking about that. And one thing I noticed when I was in Grenada was this adulation of American food and culture. And so what you started to see is that despite the fact that they have this amazing food culture, yeah, maybe in some ways limited, it hasn't necessarily evolved to a huge degree. What you do notice is this adulation of American food, so you see chicken and chips in every other shop. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I ate chicken and chips just out of the sheer convenience of needing food and there being nothing else on offer. And I was so annoyed with myself and I was so annoyed with the fact that, you know, this was so widely available. And you then start to see like physiologically people change, right? Because they're eating these fried foods. And I went in there with this feeling of, oh my God, you don't realize the abundance that you have, like the abundance. And when I say abundance, I mean there were trees with fruits and vegetables, just fruits falling off and rotting onto the sides of the streets, and being able to go into my my auntie's back garden and cutting, you know, the fresh callaloo, or the taking a bunch of green bananas off with a garden hoe because that was the only thing I had. I didn't know I was so strong until trying to whip the bananas off that tree. But they don't realize the abundance that they have because of basically global cultures saying, you know, this is what you should be aiming for. You should want the newest iPhone, or you should be wanting to eat junk food. So I think that really struck me about Caribbean food culture. Or Grenadian food culture.
I have a funny kind of relationship with Bermuda because my partner is half Bermudian, so we go a fair amount. And it's amazing how little of the islands is agricultural, and it's amazing how expensive the sort of homegrown stuff is compared. Even, you know, a Bermudian-grown carrot is more expensive than an American carrot. It's also amazing what happens once in a while when a ship doesn't come in, and suddenly the supermarket shelves just start emptying. I mean, you can see it on a week-by-week basis. If a ship misses a delivery, it's like those islands are on sort of week-to-week basis of food because so much is imported and so little is grown locally, and less because of development and tourism and so on.
Yeah, it's super sad to see that. It's really sad to see that. And also just this kind of like movement towards this homogenous culture, you know, like this homogenous Western culture. I was listening to an amazing podcast about Puerto Rico and after the hurricanes, you know, how they had to start weaning themselves off American imports and starting to become a bit more self-reliant on the produce that they grow there. And I think it shouldn't have to take something like a huge natural disaster for people to start becoming more self-reliant. But when you're basically, I don't know, it's not necessarily, yeah, when you devalue your own culture, because that's just colonialism has done that and kind of changed your mindset, then that's what happens. You want to have these expensive products because that's what everybody else has. But then it's also, you start to see how much of those products are, they're actually the worst products that are being sent to those islands. You know, they've got so much more sugar. I mean, the Fanta that's sold in Grenada, for example, was luminous orange. It was like nuclear orange. I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to actually drink that. But then I did, and I was like, oh, it's quite good. Let me not look at how much sugar and E colorings are in there. But yeah, then you start to see that, and you start to see packages with like fortified, then, you know, rice with fortified minerals. And that's because people are just not eating food that is grown on their lands, which actually is way more nutritious and way more kind of set up for their physiological structures. So, yeah, I would love to have people in Grenada revaluing their food systems and the food and the abundance that is there available on their island and on their doorsteps.
Yeah. I mean, not to idealize Cuba, but that is the best example of a Caribbean island that's moving towards sort of agricultural self-sufficiency, or has moved towards agricultural self-sufficiency out of necessity. And it's, again, yeah, it's far from perfect. I've been there, but it works to some extent.
Yeah. But yeah, as you said, it's out of necessity. And, you know, until they're moved because of that necessity, then maybe it's not going to happen.
Until there's no Fanta.
Okay, so our last question really is easy.
Okay.
And we ask everybody, what did you have for dinner last night?
I made, it was actually leftovers. So we had a chicken and mushroom pie, then with a dauphinoise potatoes with bacon, and then stewed cabbage with apples. Very rich, very indulgent, really tasty.
Wow, that sounds so good.
I know it sounds like I made it up as well, actually. It's like, who says that, really? But it was a combination between my husband and I, and somehow we managed to, not usually, but this time we did manage to collaborate very well.
Yeah, we don't do much of that. In the kitchen, anyway.
Marriage.
This was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this conversation, guys.
Thanks a million. It was great of you to join us. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you to today's guest, the terrific Lelani Lewis. Follow her on Instagram at LELANI_LEWIS. And you can get your copy of Code Noir wherever you like to buy books. You can find the recipe for Lelani's plantain and pumpkin curry on The Bittman Project. The link is in today's show notes. Thanks also to the terrific Kate Bittman, my co-host, producer, and daughter, and to our fabulous engineer, Davis Lloyd. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next week when, trust me, we will have somebody amazing. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.